Continuing along the lines of some of the sugyas we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, sugyas related to chosveikus. So although much of the chosveikus revolves around kashrus, that's where 99% of the sugyas are found in Shulchan Aruch, nevertheless they go way beyond the details of those kashrus. So there's one aspect of the chosveikus that again begins in the kashrus and branches out, and that's one of the deepest, darkest secrets in halacha called kavua. That's a Gemara that appears in Mesechus Chulim, Mesechus Pesachim, Mesechus Nazir, a few different places in Shas, which basically runs as follows. It starts with the famous case that we're all familiar with of the 10 stores. There were nine stores selling kosher meat and one store selling a tray for meat. So a person finds a piece of meat on the floor, so he's permitted to assume that it came from the rope. He's permitted, in a Torah for sure, maybe in a Rabbanan sometimes, he's permitted to assume that it came from the kosher store, around the house, nevertheless. What if the suffolk is not that he finds a piece of meat on the floor, but rather the suffolk is he doesn't remember which store he went into. He knows that he went to one of the stores, and he's scratching his head, he doesn't remember. Was it the Chickies, was it Duggies, was it the Cribbins store? He probably can't remember which store he went into. So that's a different kind of a suffolk. That's what's called kavua, because the isser is kavua m'gomo. The dover also is there, stationary. Unlike the first case, where the dover also comes to you, travels to its peerage, comes to the street. Here, you're going to meet the Yisr, and when you're going to meet the Yisr, that's called Kavua. So the Gemara is a klal that kol Kavua is Kemechza, Mechza Dami. That whenever something is Kavua, so we treat it as being 50-50. All of a sudden, the numbers fall by the wayside. There's no longer we can apply the principle of Rov. Kol Kavua, Kemechza, Mechza Dami. Therefore, it's a suffix. It's a suffix, so you're not allowed to eat it. Svekidaraisa Luchumma. So the Gemara tells us that this is a Din Min HaTorah. It's not 100% clear what the source for this Din Min HaTorah is. The Gemara quotes a pasuk that some Hashem say that according to some Yitzhak Moshem Sina, it's not clear where this thing comes from. But the fact that the Din exists, that seems to be just about agreed upon by everybody. Well, the Tanoim just about buy into this for the most part. But this Din of Kol Kavua Kemechza Mechza Dami is really a big problem, because even if the facts are right, that it's treated like a suffix, how could that be a problem in a Torah? According to the Rambam, all sveikas are mutter b'torah anyway. According to the Rambam, if I have a piece of meat, I'm not sure whether it's treif or whether it's kosher, I'll eat it anyway with the raisa. So how could kol kavua kemechza mechza dami pose a problem on the love of the raisa? So this is a throwback that we spoke about in the past, that even the Rambam would probably concede that if you have what's called ikva isura, if you have a situation where it's not that I have a stamasafik, a 50-50 chance, but rather I have a dover also and a dover mutter in front of me, and I don't know which is which. So I have two pieces of cake in front of me. One is kosher pesach and one is chametz, and I have no idea which is which. So therefore, according to the Rambam, that would be an issur d'oraisa. That would be a problem in the Torah, because the issur is there. In a case where I have a piece of food in front of me, I have no idea if it's chametz or not chametz, so that's mutter in the Torah. But if I know that there's chametz on the table, I want to know which piece it is, so that would pose a problem in the Torah. So that's what the Achronim explained. That's kavu also. Kavu is the halacha equivalent to being there. It's ikvei sura in the full sense of the word. It means I know that this treif is there. I know there's a treif and butcher store. I don't know whether I went into that treif and butcher store, but that's closer to the model of beis chatichos. And as beis chatichos, that would pose a problem in deraisa. So there is a klal called kavu kavechza betzadami. It is a problem in the Torah, even according to the Rambam. So in Shulchan Aruch, there is such a halacha. The question is, how far does this thing go, and how much does this halacha impact in our lives, and what areas of halacha does this halacha even appear in? So if you'd ask ourselves whether this din of kavua makes any sense to us logically, so the answer would probably be no. It's very, very hard to figure this out, what this is all about. There was a running machlokes that I had with Mr. Brenstein or Mashal for many, many years, that he had a math background, Dov's father, and he would always, every time his sugi would come up in Kolomboke, he would always tell me, no, it's based on a basic rule of statistics, and he would always give me the same shtickle Torah what the rule was, and I never understood. I still, Adi Mazet, didn't really understand it. I nodded, I said, okay, I don't have a math background. My last math was, I think, a high school trig, so I couldn't exactly wrap my hands around it. He was convinced that it was comprehensible in the human realm. As Reb Chaim said that it's one of the few sugars in Shas that he said he just never understood. He said he's about five sugars. Reb Chaim said, I just pushed it, never understood it. So I don't know, whatever. Yesh. The Rishonim used the phrase that kavua is a chiddush. It's such a chiddush. And it falls into the category of what we call chidushim. Every once in a while, there's a halacha in the the Torah gives us, that we scratch our heads and we can't figure it out. You know, we defer to Kiddush Baruch Hu's wisdom, part of it was also Kiddush. But usually rules that govern day-to-day life and rules that govern Tarovas and rules that govern Sfeikas and rules that govern, you know, that govern things then, Nizikin, things that we can't understand, are usually not such grandiose Kiddushim. And every once in a while, the Torah throws a curveball at us, even in the realm of quote-unquote normative halacha, that it's still considered to be such a chiddush. Once something is considered to be a chiddush, then it follows a different sets of rules. It's not bound by the regular klali Torah. So kavua, according to some, maybe one of those examples, it's something that just defies logic, and therefore it has to be looked at through a different set of eyes in the general scheme of things. So one of the examples when this comes up is a shah that we spoke about last week, 2 weeks ago, with the sugya of Sfeik Sfeika. So remember when we spoke about Sfeik Sfeika, we mentioned that whenever I have a piece of meat that I'm not sure whether it's kosher or not, it's a 50-50 chance that it's kosher, so I can't eat it, it's a safek echad, and then that piece of meat gets mixed up into other pieces of meat in a way that's not bottle. Why is it not bottle? Because it's a barrier, because it's a double chashim, whatever the reasons are, it's something that doesn't lend itself to the regular rules of bittul. So now I have a safek piece of meat that gets mixed into a whole batch of other pieces of meat. I want to take out one piece of meat. I want to just risk it and take one piece of meat, eat that one piece of meat. So can I do that or not? So some of the Rishonim say, yeah, you can do that. You know why? It's a sfeika. Because sfeik, number one, is maybe it's kosher, maybe it's treif. V'yomtum tzalama, that it was treif. Maybe the one that you're going to pull out of the tarobas is not the bad one. Maybe that's one of the good ones. So maybe that's okay. So there were Tavos and Rishonim who held that's fine. That's a perfectly legitimate sfeika. And we paskin, that's not true. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin, like the Rishonim will say, that doesn't qualify as a sfeika. Why not? So there are different nuances we mentioned last week, different nuances in Rishonim. Why? But Lamaisa, that's what it says in your day, that sfeika begufsa b'tarovas doesn't work. So nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from other Rishonim the following. What if I have a sfeika of kavua? I'm walking around the Queen Anne, and I'm on the phone, I'm not paying attention where I'm walking into, and I walk into a store, and then I walk out with a piece of meat, and I have no idea which store I walked into. So that piece of meat is now treif. That's treif. Mitam kavua. Kol kavua kemechzi mechto. You don't know, I'm in 10 stores of kosher. So I can't eat that piece of meat. What if that piece of meat then gets mixed up into other pieces of meat, into a tarobas, in a scenario where it's not going to be bottled? So what would you say about that? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, that's a classic suffix echad beguf. So we have a tarovis. The first suffix is not a tarovis to a suffix. The first suffix is a mudra, is an ulcer. Then the second suffix is a tarovis. So I would have slapped you and said, oh, that's not a good suffix. That's a suffix echad beguf. So remember I mentioned last week, that was the first thing I ever heard on Thursday night in Wayum, the third night Mishma. So this would be a classic application of a non-acceptable sfeika. So strangely enough, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, no, this will be okay, that's fine, this is okay, this passes the test. Why does this pass the test? So the Echmarim are working, we're trying to figure out what is the difference between the two. So some of the Echmarim say the answer is very simple, that Kavu is a Chiddush. Kavu is it's an unbelievable Chiddush. So we have a rule when it comes to Chiddushim, Ein Lecha Bo'al Chiddushim. The Gemara says that in a little bit of a different context, that whenever you have a halacha that says it's a cloud that breaks all the regular party lines, it's such a tremendous chiddush, so we limit its application. We say it only applies in a very, very, very unique situation, and we don't extend it to any other scenario. Kavua is such an unbelievable chiddush atarah that it was nischadish when there's one problem. But once that one problem becomes potentially solved, even though it doesn't meet the regular rules of Sveik Sveika, in terms of regular Sveik Sveika, we can't check it off the Shach's Klal 26, AB, appendix, whatever that does. It's a Sveik Sveika. It fails the test of Sveik Sveika. But the Achronim, right, since the whole problem in the first place was a Chiddush, so the standards of Sveik Sveika, to be master, the standards are going to be significantly lower. That in the Chobel Chiddush, that when there's a Sveik Echad, Kavu is also, the minute that the Sveik Echad becomes base Sveikas, even though it's not Sveik Sveika, it's not a halachli Sveik Sveika, the Sveik Sveika doesn't meet the criteria of Sveik Sveika, because Kavu is such a Mechudish took a thing in the first place, that's good enough. So that's one potential application of this rule, that Kavu is such a tremendous Chiddush, we don't want to play it out more than necessary. Then there's another example, which potentially may impact on us, believe it or not, in the strangest way, halachli ma'isa, and that's that's based on a sugi that appears in Maseches Baba Kamba and in Maseches Sanhedrin. The Gemara quotes a sugya, nothing to do with Tarovas, nothing to do with Sveikas, having to do with Edom Zeremim. There is a halacha that if two Edom come to Beis Din and they declare, they say that Reuven killed Shimon, and then they turn out to be liars. So they could turn out to be liars in one of two ways. Either, let's say they say Reuven killed Shimon on last Tuesday in New York, and then Shimon walks into Beis Din. So it's a whole baraglu, baraglups. And the odds are, unless this chesed mason that happened, the odds are that Reuven probably did not kill Shimon last week. So that would prove, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that they consider to be Edom Shakranim. But that's not Edom Zomim. Edom Zomim means that the two Edom say that Reuven killed Shimon on Tuesday in New York at 2 o'clock, and then two other Edom come in and say, listen, we have no idea whether Reuven killed Shimon. I don't know Reuven, I don't know Shimon. All I can tell you is that these guys didn't see that in New York at 2 o'clock, because they're in California at the same exact time. So it's not Shaykh. This is before Zooms, before FaceTime. They couldn't, it's impossible. They couldn't have been in two places at the same time. So that's what's called Imanu Yisem. So that's the parsha of Edom Zomim. So Al Zeh Nemar Basisim Lo Kashasom Lasos Liochiv. So the Edom Zomim are punished. Whatever they try to kill Reuven, they get killed. They try to make Reuven pay $1,000. They pay $1,000. Malchus, whatever it was, Basisim Lo Kashasom Lasos Liochiv. In addition to the Edom becoming psulim, to the Edom getting punished, the Edom also become psulim. That if a person testifies falsely in Beis Din, so there's an eight checker, so an eight checker is a Russia, so you can't testify anymore. You lose your credibility in Beis Din, the other board, unless you really, really convince us that you're a Chayzi B'tshuva. So once Edom become Edom Zomim, not only are they punished, they also become Psulim Lehoid in the future. Taisa has a funny kashya, Baba Kama. Taisa says, how did Chazal know the second did? Just because the Torah says that that they're punished, it doesn't really make any sense to punish them, because how do you know they're the liars? Maybe the second set of Edom are the liars, so you don't really know. So the Torah said, okay, whatever, the Rosh Hashem said that you trust the second set over the first set. So Taisa says, Akasha, I know that I trust the second set vis-a-vis Einshin. How do I know that I trust them vis-a-vis Psulim? Maybe the Edom Zomim are punished. Maybe we take away their money, we give them Malchus, we kill them. But before we kill them, they can still be Edom at the wedding. They're still kosher Edom. We state in the Torah that the Edom Zomim are Psulim Hoyed. It just says in the Chumash that they're punished. So Tosfos says that's ridiculous, Kash. It says, we're killing them. Means we're so convinced that they lied, that we're taking them out to be killed. But no, they can still be the Edom Yechasin. It's okay. They can still be the Edom Kiddushin. What kind of joke is that? He says, that if the Torah says you punish them, so Kavachomer, they can still be Psulim. Tosfos says you don't need rocket science to figure that Kavachomer out. But so the din is that the Edom Zomim apostle. So at what time in history do the Edom Zomim become possible? So if you were to ask me, I would say the same as any other Edom. Anytime you do an Avera, not every Avera makes you possible Edom. So a guy told Sashnara, does become possible Edom. That would make life very difficult. Every time you call up a guy for a kibbutz at the wedding, so, no, okay, I'm sorry, you spoke Sashnara yesterday, you're possible. So Lashnara is a bad Avera, but it's not Chayim Malkus. So only Averas that are Chayim Malkus and Mrs. Bezdin, etc., or Ganevish stuff. If you're a Ganev or a Goslin, you're cheating business, that kind of stuff, then you're possibly Edus. If you eat Treif, you wear Shatnez, you do Malach and Yontif, you're Chayim Malkus, you're Chal Shabbos, whatever, so you're Ogun of Edizar, those kinds of things, and then you're going to be Possel to Edus. There was a Rav in California, a Shivishu Rav in California, who once was telling me a story. He said he was at a chasana with Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. And Rabbi Aaron in the old years, I think he changed in the later years, but in the old years, he would only permit Eidei Kedushin who were Machped and Yashan. So he was Mimsad Kedushin, and they called up like two Choshev Shashivas to be Eidei Kedushin. And Rabbi Aaron turned to them and he said, are you Machped and Yashan? They said, no. So he sent them down. So he told one of his Talmidim, call up, Mike and Sammy, call up my boys. So these two, 17-year-old kids from Skokie, whatever it was, from Chicago, they come up. Remember, the Rashid was telling me the story. He says to me, these kids, he could barely see the yarmulke, He was little long hair, little young, little bottle cap. And they were the 8-day condition. So I said to them, I don't understand, what's the problem with the story? I said, Chodesh the Shabbat Rice, is he wearing yarmulke? No. You don't become possibly Yiddish if you wear a little yarmulke. And so he was like, Tom's taken aback that was my reaction to the story. He was like saying it's a bizarre. I said, okay, I understand the story. Anyway, so Rubaz, I think it's later years, he stopped it. So the din is that a person becomes possibly Yiddish from the moment that they did the Avera. Let's say a person eats treif. So they ate treif at 8:16 on Sunday morning. So from then on in, they become possibly Eidus. A person robbed the bank at 8:20 Sunday morning, so from then on in, they become possible yedus. So Edom Domer, that's what I would have said also. That's what Abaye said. Abaye said, it's only a fair and if so. That you have to go back in time, go back to the court records and find out what time did he testify falsely. And at that point, retroactively, he becomes a possible yedus. And Rava says, no. Rava says, you don't become possible yedus retroactively. Exome mikan lahabo nusol. You want to become possible from the moment that you're caught and based in. Only at the time when the Edom Azim Muhammad they declare you to be an Ed Zaymim, then and only then do you become possible the Edus. Like I said, that doesn't make any sense. Well, why Manishtan Edom Zomim from all other areas of Halacha? So the Gemara Zamachlek is what Rava meant. So one, the popular answer became that Rava said, no, Ed Zomim is different because it's a Chiddush. It's such a Gevalik Chiddush. Ed Zomim, Mechaz is the Sam Chazani Smachani. Why should you rely on the second Edom? The odds are that just as good that the first Edom tells the truth. Maybe the second Edom lying. Nobody knows what really happened. So the Torah says, no, the Torah says we believe the second Edom. That's it. The second Zerach is said to be Namanim. It's a Chiddush HaTorah. Says Rava, once it falls into the category of what's called the Chiddush HaTorah, then we plug in the following rule called In Lechabo LeChidusho. That Chidushim are limited. Chidushim can only give that very, very limited scenario. You can't extrapolate. In Kol Torah Kula, you can extrapolate. You learn your matzinas, the bidinabs, and you jump from one halacha to another halacha, to sada shavas, everything all over the place. But by chidushim, are very, very limited. But state to state, it was nishtate, nishtate. It doesn't say it, doesn't say it. So therefore, when the Torah says, we treat the guys in Eidzelim, good, from that moment in time that he was found guilty, not before. We don't go l'mafreya. That's part of the rule of Ein Lecha Bel Chidusho, is that Ein Lecha Ele Mishas Chidusha Ve'Elach, that only from the Shas Chidush as well. So that's a big machlekes between Abaye and Rava. This happens to be one of the cases that we paskin against Rava. We paskin like Abaye, that no, the Edzom is Nifsal Mafreya. So there's a machlekes that we show him, why do we paskin like Abaye? So the Rambam says that even though Rava's right, Edzom is a Chiddush, we hold you can do Chiddush and Mafreya. There's no such clause. There's no such rule called Ein Lecha Mishas Chiddush Ve'Elach. That's not true. It's Pasha, there's no such a clause. And the Torah in Hilchos Edom Zomim and Chashim Mishpat disagrees. The Torah says, no, no. The reason why we disagree with Rava is because we hold Edom Zomim. It's not such a Chiddush. We hold Edom Zomim. Taka makes a lot of sense. Why? Because says the Torah, Edom Zomim is logical. When two Edom come and say, Yimano Yisim, you were with us, they're not testifying about the case. They're testifying about the other Edom. So it's two against nothing. I can't testify about myself. So when I say that Reuben killed Shimon, if you come and argue Reuben didn't kill Shimon, so it's my word against your word. But if you don't address whether Reuben killed Shimon, you don't even know. You never met Reuben, you never met Shimon. You weren't even there. You have no idea whether Reuben killed Shimon. But you're saying that I'm possibly Eidus. So I can't say I'm kosher Eidus. It doesn't make a lot of money. I can't defend myself in Beis Din. Two Eidim come and speak against me. So therefore, the Torah writes, Eidim is not such a Chiddush. But if something would really truly be a Chiddush, then we would say, Ein lecha lo shas chiddush ve'elach. So that's a big machlokes we showed him in the sugya of Edom Zomim. What is the bottom line? Can we be done chidushim mafreya? What is the halacha when you have an area of halacha called a chiddush? Do you say it? Do you go back in mafreya or not? So what does that have to do with us? So believe it or not, it has to do with kavua. So there's a big machlokes we showed him at the following scenario of Hichus Kavua. The classic kavua is I'm walking along the streets of Queen Anne. And everybody knows there's chickies and there's doggies and there's, I still don't know the rest of the stores. Whatever. Hey, if it's Thursday, so Hamish Essen is open or whatever. A couple of kosher stores on the block. And there's the Trafer store that's up for sale, by the way. I gave it a call already. I said it's going to sell. It's ready. I already saw there's up for sale sign already. It's done. So if you want to invest in a non-kosher store, I guarantee you won't last more than 2 months. So that's the place to go. So we have 10 stores there. So the guy has no idea which store he walked into. So that's kavua. Why? Because at the time that the latest asafik was, the time I walked into the stores, so everything was known. Everybody knew. I myself knew. I just wasn't paying attention. I knew there's a trefa store there. But what would the din be as follows? Let's say there are 10 stores, and I think they're all kosher. They're all under hashgacha. And then I walk up to one of them, I buy a piece of chicken, I'm walking around the street, I don't remember which one, and then also I get an alert on my phone, the RCBC just yanked hashgacha from store Ploni. They just went in, they found, they just found chas with the store that's been already there for the last week and a half. So it turns out that Peshas led us a Suffolk. I didn't even know there was a Suffolk yet. We didn't even know there was an issue yet. So is that also called kavua? So I'd say, why not? Right, this is Gal HaDvarim, that there was kavua. So comes the Ran and the Sefer Chum says, no. There's no kavua. You know why? because kavua only applies when you knew b'shas ma'is there was a davar asur. Although since kavua is a chirish, ein l'chabav b'shach chlush va'ilach, that you can't be dan kavua, you can't pass in a kavua shayla until the facts are on the ground. Ein l'chabav b'shach chlush. You don't go retroactive. You don't go backwards. Going backwards, doing things retroactively is like a svara. We do that in Chos Teroyim, we do that in Chos Kedushin, and we go retroactive in life. That's called Sugiz L'Mafreya. But you can't call them Mafreya in Kedushin. That breaks the rules of Chos Kedushin. So that's the Rad of Masechus Chulin that says that, sorry, you can't be Dan Kavua unless Bishas Mais you knew what the facts were. Another Rishon said, never heard of such a thing. So you can be Dan L'Mafreya. We pass like Abai, we don't pass like Rava. So all of a sudden, Rishon and Simon Kufiyud, and you're there having a fight about Abai and Rava in Echel Seirim Zomim. So Mamash out of nowhere. So you're probably wondering, why Nafkamino, Nafkamino, who cares? Okay, I'm walking into the store, and I had the store, yep, lost Tashkacha, give me a break. So this happened. Maestro Jokahoya, this was part of the famous saga of, this goes back already, about 20 years or so. I remember we still lived in Paramus at the time, where there was the famous Shetel crisis. Every couple of years, there's always a Shetel crisis. It's always about something. It's either about Avodah Zarah, it's about Lace Top Shetel. There's always something going on in the world of a Shetel. Somehow it attracts interesting halachic crises. So one of the major crises that all of a sudden erupted about 20 plus years ago was that somebody realized that some of the Shetels was coming from this place in India, that a lot of the hair was coming from this place in India, and how did this place get all this hair? Where had to get all this human hair? Very simple. That people would come to this temple, and part of the Avodah Zarah process was they would shave their heads, and they would get a kapara, whatever, mitzvah, whatever they did exactly, and they would present all this hair to the galochim. So the problem is that the galochim was smart. They didn't just they figured ready to make a buck of it. So somehow the galochim found out about what was going on in Lakewood. I don't know exactly how this connection was made, but they realized they could make a big bucks out of all this human hair. So they got some people coming in to buy hairs to start making shetels. So that's basically what happened. So there was all of a sudden there was a big talkeri that came out. Wait a second, this hair was being brought to the galochim, being brought to the priests as a gift by the Zoros, being brought to the statues, to the idols. That's a big problem. A davar that's brought as a gift to Avodah Zarah, so it's called the Kreves Avodah Zarah. That's why you can't drink a wine that was poured to Avodah Zarah. If they give food to Avodah Zarah, that's the Kreves Avodah Zarah. That's a Nisa Deraisa. So the hair that's been presented as a gift to the idol, that's the Kreves Avodah Zarah. So that's a big problem. That hair is now also Bahanoah. And you can't even bottle it. The Kreves is not even subject to Bitla Avodah Zarah. So we have a big problem. That was the latest Asafi that happened. So there were a few factors that ended up going into the problem. Well, the whole thing was probably not such a big problem in the first place. It wasn't even 100% clear that this stuff was being brought as a gift to the Avodah Zarah. It was some kind of religious act, but it wasn't exactly like it wasn't a sacrifice exactly. I'm not holding by the intricacies, but there were some people who were. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, "Lo suma l'lasas l'lamid l'havi l'hiris." The Gemara says you're not allowed to sit down. You're not allowed to have a course in Avodah Zarah, and that's not acceptable. But you're allowed to learn things about Avodah Zarah. You have to know how to paschal it. You have to say you're sitting on Sanhedrin. You have to know how to paschal a shayla with it. You have Avodah Zarah, Nishna Avodah Zarah, so you have to know what's going on. So you have to paschal a shayla. So you're allowed to study Avodah Zarah in order to understand what the Gemara says. Let's say if you want to understand Avodah Zarah in order to be able to answer people, let's say people are coming and attacking you and they're trying to question their religion. So if you don't know what they're studying, what they believe, it's going to be hard for you to fight back. So for those people, let's say a person is working on an anti-missionary work or something. So he's not going to read their Bible. So how's he going to know how to answer them? So he's allowed to read. He's allowed to. That doesn't mean everyone's allowed to read. You know, average Tom, Dick, and Harry is not going to be involved in these things. That's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam writes that that issue of reading Sifrei Avodah Zarah applies also to Sifrei Kfira. That you're not allowed to read books of apikorsis, you're not allowed to read books that question about a Kodesh Baruch, you're not allowed to read books of Bible criticism, all that stuff is also, that's all the Nisim and Torah to read. The Rambam writes, that's all included, kfira and atheism, and then kfira of Torah and Shemayim, that's all subsumed under those Yisurim. But the din is, let's say a person has to do it, because he has to know Dama Lahashim, a person, he's going to be trying to be Makar people. If he doesn't know anything about the other vet questions and things like that, he's not going to be able to do the job properly. So that's not the issue. That's for sure motor. That's the summit lasas of Al-Talamid. So then you have to be honest to yourself. Is that really you? Are you really the guy who's going to be involved in those kinds of things? So some people have this very, very grandiose vision of themselves. They think that every single 18-year-old kid's got to be proficient in higher biblical criticism, because just in case people at work are going to question about biblical criticism. Now give me a book, come on. This is America 2023. This is not Germany 1885 or something. So nobody here, nobody cares. Nobody heard of Wellhouse. Nobody could give a hoot about the biblical criticism today. The only people who care about it, the few people who sit around and study biblical. Nobody could care less about it. I remember somebody was once married to me. He said, I've been working for 30 years in the office. I have never, ever had a conversation with anybody about anything that said, no, the goyim don't know what the word biblical is. Nobody cares about philosophy. We don't live in a world that cares about these things anymore. So the head there to learn these kinds of things, Stam, Lohavad Lohoros, is absurd today. Echad the elephant, one guy is going out to, you know, whatever, save the world or something. He's going to combat people who have to know these things. Okay, so he should discuss it, whether it's appropriate or not. Anyway, so the bottom line is that, I want to mention this because here we had we were in a pickle. We needed somebody who understood this religion. We needed a guy who knew what's really going on. You're sitting in Bnei Brak and try to pass through Shaila in India, so you have to know what's going on in India. So they found a couple of guys at Bali Tshuva, some guys who had been part of this religion years gone by. Some guys sitting in Bnei Brak, who knew the ins and outs of what was going on behind the scenes in this particular Indian temple. So they tried to figure out what was going on. So it wasn't at all clear that there was any real act of Avodah Zarah being done with this here in the first place. But another issue that was raised at the time was that maybe the hair was bottled berov. That it wasn't all the hair coming to, let's say you go to Lakewood by Shekel, so maybe it's a 5% chance that hair is coming from that particular temple. There are other places. They didn't have the monopoly on all the human hair, so there was a lot of rove of the hair in the world wasn't coming from there. So the question is, can we apply some of the rules of Rove? So that's a complicated shaila, because we follow Rove, Evidazar, it's the Pitlam, Evidazar, it gets very, very complicated. So one of the shailas that was tossed around to this, no pun intended, to this tarevis and to this mix was, maybe it was Lina Basaruba. Maybe it's not Botla Barov, but maybe the odds are, when I go to buy a shetel, so that's like it's like the piece of meat that was found on the floor. So the Rove is called the Parish Ruba Parish. Because I'm not going to India, I'm going to Lakewood. So when I go pick up the Sheitel, it's already parish from the Maham Asar. The problem was that the whole suffix started there at Kavua, because somebody went to India to pick up the Sheitels. So I hire my guy in India to go into the temples and to go collect the Sheitel, collect all the hairs. So that may be tantamount, there may be a lack equivalent of Kavua. So once Kavua enters into the mix, that's going to throw a monkey wrench into the whole sugya. So at the time, one of the shailas was that maybe this is Kavua l'mafreya, because at the time when the ladies are running the shetel stores in Lakewood, hiring guys in India to go pick up the hair and get them shipped to America. So nobody knew what was going on. Nobody knew there was Dvarma Surim there. Nobody chapped that there was potential for the Zara there. So this is like the case of I go into a store. I don't know which store I went to. I thought all the stores were kosher. I didn't chap that one of them had already had Kazmir last week. So this is a Kavul and Mafreya. So someone like, pointed around. It's okay. Kavul and Mafreya, I mean it. And others responded back. First of all, it's a Machlis Rishon. You have to really know Klali Kavua pretty well to figure out whether it passed like the Ran, don't pass like the Ran. So this gets to the labor thing. So I remember at the time I had a friend of mine who he is a fellow who learned in Lakewood at the time, and I became friendly with him one summer in Camp Yisharim. I remember Camp Yisharim. Remember that camp? It was a camp for like about a couple of years up in the mountains. It was like supposed to be like the next. It was like supposed to be like the next camp for like our communities. It was like, had a little bit of a yeshivish twist of rebellion, but it was a little bit more modern. It was some, like the, I don't know, maybe it was like next door goalie. I'm not sure exactly what it's supposed to be. Camp Yisharim. So at one Gilgal of my summer experiences, so they asked me would I come and just come there for a little while, just like say some shurim to the counselors and the mandrachim, whatever it was there. So it was like the end of one summer. I'd been in LA that summer, and then I had a week or two off. So I went up to Kibbe Shorn for like a week and a half, and I set shiurim there for some of the fellas. So they had it was like a strange mix of, like a lot of these places, it was a strange mix of clientele. So there were a couple of like super duper yeshivisha guys and a couple of modern guys. And I remember the time when Mati Neuberger was there at the time, so I learned with him b'chavusa one night. And it was like a potpourri of everybody from across the Jewish spectrum. So there was this fellow there from Lakewood. And I used to have a friend over that the week and a half, and he used to call me once in a while to, you know, to talk and learn a little bit over the years. And then, so when this thing broke out, this crisis broke out, so I remember he calls me like frantically, says, "No, Tom Hermosilowski, what are they saying? Why are you about the shekels? What's the hock and why are you about the shekels?" So I said, "You know, we're working on it also." I said, my take on it was, I started telling this whole couple of my friends. I said, "I think it depends ultimately on the Ron. If the Ron's right, then we can make up. The Ron's not right, he can't be make up." He was like so fascinated. He went out there and told my guys, yeah. So that became part of the, that was the Wire Lakewood connection between Kavua and the Ron's. Kavua has any influence on the Shetel Christ. Anyway, back to that story. So we have this principle called Kavua, and Kavua seems to be a pretty big Kiddush. And therefore does some things that otherwise regular halacha wouldn't do. There is a big question in the Rishonim just to fine tune exactly what is kavua, what's not kavua. So there is a very, very famous Gemara. It pops up, coming up, it's getting a couple of months probably. It popped up in Maseches Nazir, a famous Gemara about the following case. About a guy who he decides he wants to get married. And he sends a shliach, he's busy sitting in Kolos, not Kolos, in Yeshiva, he wants to get married, and he sends a shliach off to do Mekadosh and Isha. The only problem is he's not so picky. He said, "You know what, anyone, you find me any who, it's your choice." He said, "And don't Mekadosh, don't Mekadosh and Isha Stam, whoever you find, you think she, you read the resume, I don't want to read the resume, if it passes your test, you know, I'm good to go." So, well, great, wonderful, so the shliach goes on the way, and never tragedy strikes, the shliach dies. So this is already a month later, Shlech dies. We don't have any cell phones. He has no way of alerting us, did he do the job or not? So we assume he probably found somebody. I mean, Chazok or Shlech or Shlechuzo, so he probably found somebody in some resume that he was probably in Mekadesh. So now we have a big problem. Why? Because this fellow, the Mishaleach, is married to somebody. Kedusha Torah. It's a little strange, but he was Mekadesh and Isha. There is a woman out there who is his wife. He just doesn't know who she is. So that's a big problem because he wants to get married now. Anytime he gets married, any woman he gets married to, how do you know? Maybe it's his Kala's sister, maybe it's his Kala's daughter, Isha Bita, maybe it's his Kala's grandmother, Isha Amy Masa. You have a lot of problems. So any woman who wants to marry is a potential chashash that maybe it's considered to be from the Arayas. That's what the Gemara says, that he can't marry anybody anymore. He's done. He's finished. He's also. So the Rishonim toned it down a little bit, and he's also different. What if you have a girl who doesn't have any relatives? She doesn't have any sisters of marriageable possibility. She doesn't have. Her mother's not alive anymore. She doesn't have anyone. So if somebody doesn't have anyone available to be one of their ayahs, so then that's for sure going to be mutter. Well, let's say a girl comes forward and says that I'm telling you that. I'm the Kala. Or let's say all the relatives come forward and say, "I don't know the Shliach. I never met the Shliach. This is not the Kala." So those are details that Rishonim trying to iron out about this halach. But the basic tzur of the halach is that it's a problem. Asa b'chol nash shebo'elam. So comes the Gemara and says, "What do you mean asa b'chol nash shebo'elam?" It's a roif. It says the odds are that this particular girl is coming to him right now is not his wife. She's not the sister of his wife. So he sent out the shliach 6 months ago, and now shliach died. So there's some girl floating around, and out of 7 billion people in the world, okay, 15 million Jews, whatever, 15 million Jews in the world, there's some woman out there who's married to him. But when he wants to marry somebody else, called the parish, move a parish. So whenever they come to marry him, so what's the shaila? Someone says, no, it's a problem. The problem is, kavua. What's the problem? He's going dar. So he's coming now and coming to marry her. A new woman, wife number two, and he's coming. So every woman is kavua b'mkoma. So that's a problem of kavua. Kol kavua k'mechza mechza dami. If we have a problem, I'd come to be a gemara. So Rishonim have a big machlokes. What does that mean exactly? What kind of kavua is this? Is this really kavua? So Tosfos writes in a few places, this is not really kavua. This is a joke. This is a derabbanan kavua. Why? Tosfos says kavua of the Torah itself means as follows. I know there's a tray for butcher store here. I know exactly what this says Caribbean, Caribbean restaurant. I could see, Pemola, this is a trefah store. Then I see, there's Dunkies, there's Chickies, there's Yenim, there's Shmenim, there's this, I see all the kosher stores. So I know the Isser is Bimkoimai, the Hefter is Bimkoimai, the Isser is Nikar, the Hefter is Nikar. I have a problem. I don't have that information. I don't know which store I went into. That's called Kibble. Over here, you know that somewhere in the world, somewhere there's some girl in the world who is my wife's sister. That's what, I don't know who my wife is. So, but there's some girl out there who's achasishti. There's some girl out there who's basishti. But I can't even point to anything. That's called Eina Isinikum Kaima. I don't even know what the Isser is. I know there's an Isser there in theory, but I don't know where and who and when it is. So says Tyson, that's not even Kavua. That's not the real Kavua. That's only a Kavua mit Rabbanim. That's not a real Kavua Deraisa. So Tyson says, why did they make this Kavua? The whole thing is Rabbanim. What kind of strange halacha is this? So Taisa says this whole halacha about the Omer L'Shlucho is not a chashash midaraisa. Midaraisa, just because you're married to one girl somewhere in Australia, you don't know who she is. You tell you can't marry a girl in Barpa. So what does a flame in Shemitah Tzatzit? Of course, the overwhelming odds are that you're allowed to. So why did Chazal make up this whole halacha for? Says Taisa, because the guy's a nut. The guy's a fool. Why did he do such a risky thing in halacha? What a silly thing to send a shaliach to Makadosh any woman of the world. Don't you realize you're getting yourself into trouble? So it was a knas. They penalized him and said, because you act in such an irresponsible way in the realm of such a serious thing as Kedushin, so we're going to make a knas, we're going to slap you with a knas called Asa B'chol Nashim B'Alam. But you want to know really, truly, if you'd ask Moshe Rabbeinu, can you marry? You marry whoever you want. It's called the Rav Shmuel Parsh. Of course you're mutter to marry whoever you want. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no, it's the real McCoy. This is it. This is Kavua. This guy's got a real, real trouble, even on level there, Isa. So that machlokes touches the Ramban. Now it impacts on a phrase we say in the Haggadah. So we start the Rami Ovid Avi. So we start off by saying that the love and bigish lakas a kol, the parallel goes on Charim, the love and bigish lakas a kol. So all the first we say, what does that mean? Well, where exactly was love and bigish lakas a kol? So the Pashup Shad is in Pashup Yetze, that Hisham Lucham Yudabim Yachav Yitavad Ra, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells to Lavan, says you better not kill Yachav. So usually the Baruch Hu doesn't come to a person and say, but don't kill Reuven, unless he was thinking about killing Reuven. So Lavan clearly wanted to bump off Yachav. So Lavan Bikish Lachar Sakol. That's the Pashup Shad. So in the Tyrus, the Pesach Tyrus, the Purim Tyrus, whatever they say a different part. So no, Lavan Bikish Lachar Sakol. That Eliezer was a shliach l'kedushin, and he was told to go be mekadesh anybody. He wasn't given specific instructions. He said, as long as she's, it's not even 100% clear from the family, even that, there's a little bit of a nuance of a discrepancy, whether that was a, he had to go off to, out of Canaan. He had to go back down to his birthplace to go find the wife, but he was given a free reign to be mekadesh whatever he wanted to. And what would have happened in Jewish history as follows? Imagine if Eliezer would have died. So the Gemara and Gittin Sabbath would have kicked in. Then Amla Shluka Kashli Shastam Mesa Shalich. So Asmachon Hashem. So if Eliezer would have died on the job, so then Yitzchak would never have been able to marry anybody. So that's exactly what Lavan tried to do. Lavan tried to poison the food. Lavan tried to try to bump off Eliezer. So if he would have been succeeded, he would have succeeded. So then Yitzchak would have been stuck with this Gemara Masech is getting enough Samad Dalet of Shliach Lachas Kedushin. So Lavan Bikish Lachas. What a lumdish Lavan. If I tell you how many holes there are in this trap, so quite a tight, it's only at the Rabbanim, so the din wasn't even instituted yet. Who was related to who? Where? What? The Arayas come out and tell you the whole thing is a little shaky. Cute far, but to say it. Okay. It's like Misham, you know, Bob, Mishmah, there's a little Petlach. So there's a little Petlach, then there's Lundish, a little Petlach. Whatever it is, a Lundish, Lakasaka. But the bottom line is that the Gemara does use the word Kavuah. So Taisus yells and screams, says, no, there's not real Kavuah. There's not the real Makoy of Kavuah because it's not Nigris in Kaima. So hopefully we'll have to pick this up next time. About the significance of this Isis. The Isis has this idea that in order to be Kavua in a Torah, it's got to be the Isis Kavua from Kamo. It's got to be Isis Nikah from Kamo. That's a loaded question. And that's going to link back to a lot of things we've been talking about Bittel and Rose and Sveikis and a lot of the stuff about the pictures of this puzzle of Kavua and all the pieces together. From which, from next time, we'll try to finish up the Sugars of Kavua. Okay, stop there.
Today, I see a way for